Look at that little red book.
The book of answers. You ready?
Yes. Do you give the answers and I have to do the questions, like a Jeopardy thing?
See how small and short these are? They're much more concise and easy to read.
Okay, let's see what you got.
Why do we say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do?
Well, that's an interesting one. Yeah, so the meaning of that is that whatever we are, that we take on the culture or the traditions of that particular place.
So you're saying we assimilate?
We do. We do. We assimilate to that particular place or culture.
Maybe we need some of these signs around America, huh?
Hmm.
You brought it in, baby.
Oh, I don't know if I'm ready for this. Early in the morning. I need some more coffee.
Yeah. Drink up, lad. If you wish to gain esteem and avoid grief, then it's wise to respect the customs of the majority within any culture you may find yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When St. Ambrose was sent on a mission to Rome by St. Augustine, he was concerned about which holy day to observe, since the Romans fasted on a different day than was his custom. St. Augustine's wise advice is still with us.
When in Rome, do as the Romans. There we go.
There you are.
Beautiful.
You made it.
Whew. Yeah. All right, pressure's off now. Yeah. It's all downhill from here.
Yeah. Bringing in that bicycle thing again, huh? I presume you're going to be doing that?
The Tour of the Unknown Coast this weekend.
Is it a competition or is it a survival?
Well, you know, yes, both. It's not officially a race. It's not officially a race, but
so no points.
People race it.
Do you get like a medal or?
Participant
T-shirt or something.
Yes, I don't know what they're giving that now. I didn't do it last year, so they do give medals, well, at least top three, and T-shirts.
So is it kind of like the marathons where everybody takes off at once and? You get crashes early on, or is it staggered?
They don't stagger it. So there's the 100-mile, there's a metric century, so 62-mile. And there's the farm tour. There's the farm tour, which is like 10-something miles.
Get a milk cow along the way?
I'm going to put a shameless plug in here.
Have to ride through certain conditions are found on the farm?
Well, it's Ferndale.
You can say what you want at this point. I'm not going to say the word.
Which means we have some, we go through the farms. So a shameless plug for Freshwater 4-H because they're sponsoring the farm tour.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
A little bit of a fundraiser then for them.
Yes, it is.
As well as a community activity.
Exactly. So come out and enjoy the fun next Saturday, starting at the Ferndale Fairgrounds.
Oh, so you get to see Jill then also.
All kinds of people.
I don't know
if
she's going to be. No, she won't be writing. Sorry, Jill. Oh, so you are like almost hitting stride now in school, huh?
We are. We're in full stride.
Yeah.
Full stride.
The figure that I think you were the one who shared 35%. Yeah, 35% of Humboldt County school age eligible children don't attend any form of school?
Chronically absent. So missing 10% or more of the school year.
How many don't attend at all?
It's tough to know that number. Of course, they're within that 10%. You got to know that the kids are there, first of all, right? So if they're enrolled and not attending, those are the ones that make up that 32%, right? But if they're not enrolled, like every student, every child needs to be enrolled up to the age of 18, right? But sometimes
maybe not. Huh?
You know, maybe not. If they don't enroll in a public school or private school, charter school, which is a public school, they can do a home school, which is really a parent can do a private school affidavit.
Right. Right.
And they can open their own school if it's a school of one. But that has to be approved by the state.
But they wouldn't count as either chronically truant or not attending school.
No, they wouldn't.
I've shared it maybe a dozen times. Everybody is stunned outside of your arena. everybody is stunned.
Yeah.
That it's that high.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, well, it's doubled since the pandemic.
Is there any,
more than doubled.
Is there any communities that you're aware of that have addressed that and have knocked it down? Is there are those that are higher than the state average? There's got to be some that are lower than the state average.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the statistics, you know, county to county. But there are, well, I think what you've got to drive at is what's the root cause? You know, what are the barriers for kids
how do you address
coming
it?
To school on a regular basis? Yeah. Is it an issue of transportation? Is it an issue that students are not feeling safe at school? Is it an issue that there are social-emotional relationship issues? Or that they're just not engaged, right? They're disengaged from school. Or is it there are familial issues around, especially at high school age students, that they need to be home to take care of grandma or grandpa or
no, somehow I wouldn't see that that would be in this category. Because wouldn't they need to, you know, I mean, if they had a waiver of some sort or independent study or whatever it's called, couldn't they then take homework home?
Yeah, they could go to an independent study program. They could, you know, some of our charters offer an independent study program option, kind of a hybrid, you know, a few days or a few hours.
Yeah, be able to leave mom or dad for an hour or two.
Yeah, so there's some flexibility there, but...
No, not many, huh?
No.
It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes from Franklin School.
The old Franklin School.
I'm feeling old.
Yeah. You know, we have students back at the site, which is really good. We've got preschool students. Two classes.
Really?
Oh, it's great. You should come over.
Oh.
You should come over.
You were behind a locked door.
Sometimes they do that.
They call me a hard
Sometimes
time,
they do that to me.
Yeah, I couldn't tell what side of the handle was locked, if you were in or you were.
Sometimes I can't open it from the inside or the outside.
Oh,
so we have a ribbon. Yeah, we have a ribbon cutting this Wednesday for the County Board of Education meeting. We have ribbon cutting at 2:00. We have a mural. So this beautiful mural has been put up in the playground at Franklin, the old Franklin School.
Playground.
At the annex.
Okay, now the playground you're going to have to even orient people to.
Yes, they've made a little playground right next to the parking lot. They've fenced it in. We've got some sand. We've got some features for kids to play on, and we've got this beautiful mural of. Kind of depicting the landscape of Humboldt County. So, yeah, it's really pretty cool. And we have students going up and down the hallway.
Yeah, what what happened? I mean, this is cool. What happened?
Well, what happened is that we had a couple of classrooms that we were renting from another entity. And they needed those classrooms for themselves. And so we were scratching our heads. Well, what are we going to do? We got to try and find somewhere else. So what we did is we had two.
So you started walking up and down the hallway, starting to
say that could be a
think
classroom.
Of ideas here, and
that could be a classroom. Yeah. Let's get the adults out of there. So, So, you know, we have this downtown campus. So we're leasing a building down on Fifth Street, the old KAEF building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ron Pelleggi's building.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we have, so we moved our itinerant teachers, which are those preschool teachers, special beginnings teachers who are going to a particular site, but they move and they support students throughout the county.
Okay, and then, so, so it's really not almost a separate office. Division.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so we have that group established down at the downtown campus. And so we were able to take out, because they were in, you know, they were in kind of pods within these two classrooms. So we were able to take those things out, have these two classrooms, and turn them into preschool classrooms. Now we've got kids in there, and it's...
No, that's not part of the old school. That's part of the...
The annex.
Portables or whatever they are.
No, it's not, not portables, but it's the annex, which is one of the buildings that was added to Franklin, I don't know when, 70s?
Okay, towards the end. So that's like where the school board meetings were.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's pretty neat to have kids. You know, it helps remind us, right? Because we're somewhat far removed.
Yeah.
At the County Office of Education. We provide programs, of course, for kids, you know, but not at the site itself. It's different.
Yeah.
So when we've got kids coming up and down the hallway, and you're in the personnel department, or if you're in the fiscal department, in the payroll department, and you hear those kids.
So you sneak into the main building and make a run for
the... Well, the teachers come, they bring them down.
The chip machines and the sodas?
they bring them down in these little buggies. Like they, so the kids come down the hallway, because
like
you know Franklin.
They're in wagons?
They're in wagons.
Kind of.
They're in wagons. It's great. That's great. And then we have sign-ups for the staff to read to kids in the HERC, which is our resource center. There's a little learning commons area.
Is that the old auditorium cafeteria?
Oh, I don't
down
know.
At the end of the...
No, this one is the building next to the Sequoia there, the our big resource center, the library.
Okay. The library.
Library, essentially, yeah.
Normal words, please.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot more than just books in there.
Yeah.
But so we have, you know, the teacher has, teachers have put out a sign-up for staff to come and read to kids for, you know, 15, 20-minute period of time. It's so much fun. It's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's great.
Reconnecting everybody. What percentage of the... I guess the administration staff have education or educational degrees versus accounting degrees, or you said personnel, HR,
yeah,
business degrees, some of the other disciplines that are all comprising what an educational system requires?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we think about the County Office of Education. We think about the teaching aspect of it. We think about the programmatic aspect of it. But there's a whole other part of it. There's
the
a whole business of education, right?
Yeah.
The districts that we support, the the budgets, the reporting, all of that. I would say it's about a 65-35 split, you know, programmatic educational background versus the infrastructure, the business background is part of it. Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting. So when we're looking at recruiting, that's one of the things that we have to do a better job of, is saying, hey, come and work for the Humboldt County Office of Education, not because of the education aspect of it, but do you have skills in maintenance? Do you have skills in information technology? Do you have skills in business, in fiscal, accounting, payroll, personnel? You know, those are all things that are essential to an organization.
And you want me to work where?
Yeah, I'll bring you an application next time. I'm in.
I mean, the concept is, I wouldn't think that a lot of folks, unless you step back a little bit, consider the business side of businesses.
Yeah.
Like this thing that you run. Okay, the board runs under your edict, or is it the other way around? It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now,
live.
Thank you.
State Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes. Looking at some of the different changes, and I guess it would be evolutions, not changes necessarily. Change for me was that you have either revolution or evolution.
Hmm.
Change to me is more on the evolution side of things.
Yep.
Yeah. Are there other opportunities that are out there that you see either coming down the pipeline or that other schools are doing or throughout the state that you love to be able to go, yeah, these kids, let's bring that program here.
Or yeah.
Bring that one across, or maybe we do this one a little bit differently.
Yeah. I think that the opportunities for, well, a couple of things came to mind. First one is the opportunities for private-public partnerships, especially in the area of CTE, strong workforce. You know, we know just here in Humboldt County that we have businesses that are looking for skilled workers, and they can't find them, you know, locally, so they have to go and outsource.
Well, Betty Chin was in 2 weeks ago, with some 3 weeks, something like that, and was saying, you know, we need to have employers that, you know, once these folks get through her program, but she had, I think she said a lot, I don't know a number, but a lot of response, and people, I wonder if it's just people don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing that you would get some folks lining up saying, yeah, we'll help out.
Well, and with our kids, I mean, we can prepare our kids for the option of staying locally if they want to with well-paid jobs. But we've got to prepare them for that.
And stay in school in order to get to that spot.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Stay in school to get to that job. And that doesn't mean necessarily that they stay here so that they're going to college, because not every kid wants to go to college, needs to go to college. We need to provide those options for students with vocational education. And our businesses, they have the capacity to be able to train their workforce, right? So we're talking about internship opportunities, apprenticeship opportunities. I think that's an area that's untapped.
Maybe even coming into the classroom.
Absolutely.
Being a teacher in the classroom, I mean, this is kind of a weird thought, but, you know, what else would you expect from me? Have a class, pick a high school, doesn't matter, and kids are there, but you rotate your instructors.
Hmm.
So maybe you have a plumber today and a carpenter tomorrow, an electrician.
Yeah.
And every Monday it's one. Every Tuesday it's the same folks, so it's once a week. But they get an exposure across the board, because I think that I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of kids that have interest, but they just don't know yet where.
Right.
So rather than having them have to go out and intern for a couple of weeks with everybody, bring the teachers in. And we have models of that going on. Oh, okay.
We do have models of that going on. So.
And has it been received?
Really well, you know, really well, right? Because it gets kids excited, like, oh, this is how I apply this work. Or these things that I've been learning about in woodshop or in or in math class or whatever. Yeah. Oh, this is how I can apply that. This is what it looks like in the workplace. And I could make how much money? You know, I mean, yeah, it gets kids excited. So I think looking for those opportunities of the public-private partnerships with businesses locally is really important. But it's important not just for students of today, but it's important for the health and the economy of Humboldt County going forward.
Are there restrictions that you run into in trying to implement those?
Yeah, programs? You know, if we're going to have a teacher, for example, have a regular class of teaching something in career technical education, the credentialing part of it, in other words, being able to be qualified to teach, because normally a teacher would need to go through their bachelor's degree and then do their teaching courses and their student teaching. if you have industry experience, there are actually waivers. There's another path. So if you were working as a, you know, a welder or a plumber for X number of years and you had this industry experience, that can be actually used in lieu of some of the requirements of the credential so that you could actually teach those classes.
So the guys and gals that decided not to go to school but go into the trades,
yes,
don't have to go back to school to try to get other people into
great,
the trades.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's great. It's great. It's about removing barriers. Like, why do we put these barriers up that you have to have this credential, or you have to have this qualification in order to do that? Now, I get it. You don't want a brain surgeon. You know, you don't want to have brain surgery by someone who is not qualified to do the work. But there are other pathways. You know, there's not just one way to get to competence.
Well, and, you know, the flip of that is, which was always... and they're not around anymore. The teachers I had when I was going to Humboldt about teaching marketing had never been anything other than a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
All theory.
Mm-hmm.
No practicality. Had not sold anybody anything in their life. So how are they? What credibility do they have? How did they get a position where they've never done what it is?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the flip of the other.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder, okay, come on. It's neat that there's been those changes.
There have been
those
changes.
To allow some of this stuff to occur now.
So the second area where I think that there's that evolution is around this area of social-emotional well-being of kids. You know, traditionally we think about education, the classroom. We think about academics. But more and more, we need to be teaching the whole child because, you know, statistics are pretty stark about students struggling, you know, with trauma, students struggling with
mental trauma,
mental trauma,
physical trauma.
Well, both, but just mental mental health is an issue. So, looking at social workers who may not otherwise be engaged in schools, actually having school social workers. And we have more and more of our schools that are bringing in social work and hiring school social workers to provide support for the kids.
How prevalent is that need?
Oh, it's a significant need. It's a significant need. And we're just now starting to pull that in. We have some seed money through these grants for what's called community schools, not the traditional community school that we think of students who have
been. Like Blue Ox.
Yeah.
Would be that, yeah.
These are opportunities for districts to provide a kind of a one-stop shop, so to speak, for students. Some of our districts have wellness centers, for example. And in a wellness center, which is based on the campus, a student could receive counseling. They could
regular academic counseling or
psychological counseling. Okay. Yeah. They could receive assistance from a school social worker, a school nurse, and other individuals who may be able to help the family. Think about the whole family. To help remove barriers for students to be successful in school. So school is more than just a place where students come to make friends and
learn
academics. You know, it's also a place where students can find safety, find health, both mental health, physical health, social-emotional well-being, and we're seeing the role of schools evolve. And talk about evolution. That is an area that we're evolving, is that we're bringing in these other supports and services that traditionally were not part of school. They were separate.
And those folks won't normally have access to this or won't take advantage of these services?
access is an issue, especially in a rural community like we have in Humboldt County. In other words, if you want to get X service, you've got to come to Eureka, you've got to go to Arcata or McKinleyville or Fortuna. The school is a natural hub, right? It's where people grab, that's where kids are. It's where families come to get their kids. If we can provide those services where students are, where families come already, rather than saying, oh yeah, we'll give you a referral and you can, you know, you can call and make an appointment. And oh, by the way, you've got to make your way to Eureka to do that.
Can you afford it? Can we afford it? I know the argument is we can't afford not to. Okay, fine. So set that one aside for a sec. But some of these, I mean, the communities that you ticked off,
yeah.
Okay, they've got critical mass.
Yes.
Some of the others don't.
Right.
But if you're staffing, your staffing cost is the same, whether there's 5 kids or 50 kids or 500 kids utilizing it.
Yeah. So I mentioned these, this kind of seed money, these community schools, grants that have, I think we have 20 out of the 31 school districts and the 15 charters that we have in Humboldt County. I think we have pretty close to over half of the districts have this community schools money, either planning grants or implementation grants, where they're doing this work. The issue is, of course, sustainability, right? So when the grant runs out, when those 4 years, 5 years,
now what?
That money,
yeah.
You know, how are you going to be able to sustain that? That's always an issue with grants. But I think that it's a good start. It's a good start. It's an important start.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:45.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:50. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes from the County Office of Ed. So you've got these different programs, different challenges, changing needs, or perhaps more recognition of needs that have existed.
Yeah, I think more the latter, honestly, yeah. Brian.
How do you build that flexibility into these budgets that the state is telling you, through siloed funding or grants,
yeah.
You know, this is where you spend this, this is where you spend that. If you do something outside of this, boy, you got all, you know, 15 different ways you have to report it.
Oh.
And it has to be within 4 hours of completion of the end of the week, before about, you know, and they put all these restrictive elements to it that make it almost not worth going for.
Sometimes.
Even when you know that the need is there.
Yeah, yeah. The reporting is, I mean, it's especially onerous for our smaller districts, right? Because they still have to do the reports and they don't have the
big small in between doesn't matter.
Yeah, no.
It's yes, no.
Right. Yeah. They don't have the staff to be able to do that. So it puts an incredible amount of pressure on the staff that they do have to be able to complete these reports that are, you know, it's around accountability. And I understand that, right? We don't expect just to be given dollars and there'd be no accountability associated with it, but it can't be so onerous and so time consuming that you spend more time writing the report than you do carrying out the actual actions that the funds are supporting.
Well, the accountability is part of it, but there's a part of me that says the reason that there's so much reporting is because there's somebody's job up the ladder it is to get these reports. And somebody else to look at it and somebody else to analyze it.
So,
and it becomes job protection.
Yeah.
I mean, it may not be where it starts out, but it would seem to be that simplification would be the trigger.
Right.
Trying to get the services to the kids.
Absolutely.
Rather than putting everybody through a grinder like this on the reporting side of it so that those that really need it never get access because those districts can't comply.
Yeah. And who's reading this stuff? Honestly, who is reading this stuff? Well, let me give you an example. The LCAP, the Local Control and Accountability Plan. It's been around 2012-2013, when the change in the funding formula away from to the local control funding formula that we had under Governor Brown. So the name, right, local control,
implies
that there's local control, that you're doing that at the district level, right, which to a certain extent you are, and you write this plan that the audience really is your community.
Yeah.
Right? Parents and your community. But if you have so many elements that are in that plan, the local control and accountability plan, minimum is 80 to 100 pages.
Never mind.
And who from your community is going to read that?
Yeah, you read the summary one page cover sheet.
So we've got to get some more common sense into that.
Oh, good. Common sense in education. Who'd have thunk it?
Oh, I love it. Let's do it.
All right. See everybody tomorrow.